revival. And we need to be praying for the one, Brother Richie, that's coming to bring us a revival. God may talk to his heart. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I was thinking about something about revival when I run across these two verses, and I said, man, if I could just nail down these two verses of scriptures, I tell you, I could have a revival. And I need a revival. This world we're living in, as we just entered into a new year that none of us lived before, and there are so many unknowns of this new year, this world we're living in, this new year. And I guess most of us have some type of fear in, of this new year, fear of out in the future. We're kind of afraid in a way, and we have to face this new year and face the challenges. It seemed like they're more uncertain than they ever been before in my life. And it seemed like they're more fear of God's people than they've ever been in my life. But we need a revival. And these four reasons I wrote down, if I could just understand these four reasons coming out of these two verses of Scripture here tonight, if I could learn to be content with His provision that He has provided for me, if I could just learn that lesson and His companionship of His presence, that He will be with me, and be confident in His promise, what He's promised me, that would bring comfort of His protection. Those four statements will underline a great revival for me and for you and for these upcoming years and for unknown of this new year, for unknown out into the future, that sometime we just have fear of this uncertainty. And if I could just have a revival in these four areas that God has promised us in the Word of God, and these two little verses of Scripture, that's what you're going to find in these two verses of Scriptures. Being content with what we have. You don't have anything that God have not given you. Everything we have tonight has been a gift of God. You know, He owns everything. You really don't own anything. He allows you to be a steward of it for a little while, and then it's going to be tucked away from you, and another one is going to be able to hold your holdings. Everything we have is going to be taken away. If we could just learn to be content in His provision that He has provided for us, it says in the Bible that'd be a great gain. And then if we could learn, you know, with all these things in this world we might want, but, you know, we have the greatest thing in the world we have is companionship in the presence of the Lord that other people don't have. And I got to think tonight as I see this good number here tonight, and I see what God's doing in the life of His people at Pleasant Hill, one of the greatest places to be is at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and see that God's pouring His life, Jesus Christ, into His people, and the great companionship that we have in Christ Jesus. And tonight I didn't have to come to church, but I got to come to church. It was a gift of God, and I thank the Lord. It's not that you have to come, that you get to come, and every time that God's people meet. But you see, God has promised us a lot of things. And also, I'm going through this coming year, no matter what happens to this old country we're living in. But I need to be confident that God has promised us that we're going through this new year. And then, you know, we have then the comfort. We understand these first three, and it'd be in that verse 5. These first three comes out of verse 5. See if you can find them. But then the comfort we have in His protection. Because He said, you know, that He would protect us. That's one of His promises we have in the Word of God, this unknown world that we're living in. So let me read these verses of Scriptures as we're dealing with these four headings that I really believe that we need a revival in this hour. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much, O God, for this blessing of this hour, Lord, that You allowed us to be part of. That, Father, You allowed each one of us to live through this day. And, Father, it's been Your blessings, O God, that You have gave us. It's been, Father, Your breath that You allowed us to breathe, O God. And we want to thank You for bringing us to another close of a day, the God, that You have made for us. And We want to thank you and praise you, O God, for what you're doing in the life of people. And Father, just for this hour, God, that we might be put our minds and hearts together, that we need a revival and we might be renewed in the Spirit of God. That Father, that we know there's some unknowns out into this world that we're marching towards and marching through. But Father, we know that you're the key, and Father, you understand, and you know all the great things that we need to know. And Father, you reveal to us as we have the need to know. And so, Father, we want to thank you this hour, this night, oh God, for the people here this hour, that we might truly have revival in our heart. And Father, for these four things tonight, we pray that you might magnify your name in the blessings that we have before us. And all this we ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Amen. There was an old ship out in on a storm, and it was an old leaky ship, and people on that ship was afraid for their life. They was fearful, so they asked the captain, "Are we safe?" Well, the captain said, "This old boiler, this old ship," he said, "it's getting mighty, mighty weak." He says, "That old ship is also," he says, "it's taking on water mighty fast. And you know, we may have an explosion any time, we may sink." And he said, "You know what? We may go up or we may go down. But," he says, "we're going on." So I want to tell you tonight, no matter what happens to the unknown that we're going into, we may go up with the rapture, we may go down by the grave and then go up. But I'm going to tell you what, no matter what, we're going on because of the Lord. We're going on. As we face this new year, we need a revival. You know, Columbus, when he sailed the ocean blue, the map makers, you know, they was afraid of the unknown because they had not mapped out the unknown world at that time. And they understood there was nothing beyond. But you know, old Columbus, he began to sail. You know what he done? Although they said there was nothing beyond, he began to sail. You know what he found? He found these golden beaches of this United States of America. The fertile fields, you know, of the Midwest. He found the great rivers and also the gold that lay in this country and many other things that lay beyond. So you and I this night, I want to tell you, people don't understand about the unknown. They don't know what's out there in the future, but God says, you know, we just don't know. They got the golden field. We got the streets of gold. We got everything that we need if we can just see out into the future what God's prepared for the people that loves him. So we need to understand tonight this future for us and the title, you know, the unknown of the new years and an unknown of the new day that we may live tomorrow, the new weeks, new months that we may not understand. And sometimes, you know, we have this fear upon us and we have a lot of fear from time to time. And I'm again having more fears when I shouldn't have fears, but we need revival. And, you know, this new year without fears and without the unknown, not worried about the unknown, without fears. I think these four things will help me. You know, they'll be content of his provision to start with. It says, let your conversation or really your behavior be without covetousness. Be content with what you have. You see, there's discontentment and then there's contentment. Discontentment is kind of like a disease to take the joy away from you that God has given you. But contentment makes a poor man rich of what God has given us each day. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6, 7, and 8, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing else. And having food and remnant, let us be therewith content. Would y'all say amen to that? I'm telling you what, that is a great, great verse of Scripture. That we brought nothing in this world, we'll carry nothing else, and what God has given us, we need to learn to be content in it. And I love that old song every time that we sing it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I have a roof over my head and shoes on my feet and food on the table and a good family, or a fine family, I think it says. But you know, what else could you ask for besides that, what God has given most of us here this night? I mean, is anybody hungry? I mean, is anybody cold and don't have a place to sleep tonight? Has everybody got a little bit of food in the freezer or their pantry? I mean, there's a lot of things we feel like we need and we want, but really, do you really have any needs this hour? I mean, clothes on your back and food on your table and shoes on your feet. And I tell you, can you say that, God, you have gave me a fine family? Oh, Lord, can we be content with that? What else? That's a rich person that has that in the Lord tonight, I'm telling you. They'll be content with that. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord. You know, a little boy, well, let me read this Ecclesiastes. It says in 5 and 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundantly will increase. This is also vanity. Oh, if you love silver, he says it'll never satisfy you in that verse of Scriptures. You'll never be satisfied with just money, money, money. It takes more than this money and more than silver to satisfy you. A lot of times we get some things in our life, and, you know, we might be praying for them, get some things, and you wish you didn't have them. You have to be careful what you pray for. Did y'all know it? Sometimes you let God let you have something you ask for. Like this little boy could never get enough of pancakes. Mama fixed him pancakes. He always wanted more. She said, well, I'll fix him all the pancakes he wants. So she started cooking pancakes for him. And he ate one. She said, you want another? Yes, ma'am. He fixed him two and three and four and five until he ate about 10 pancakes. She said, son, do you want another pancake? He says, no, ma'am. I don't even want the ones I've already ate. You ever done that away? You know, you was hungry and you eat. You say, I ought not eat that much. And you know, sometimes we have eaten enough, but it'll about make us sick. You know, we ought not eat that much. So, you know, that's kind of where we are in the material things of life. We want things so badly that we get some things, you know what, we really don't need. And sometimes it don't make you happy. It makes you sad. And I know with experience in my life that I got some things in my life I really, really wanted them, and God gave them to me, and I really had a hard time getting rid of them. I did get them. And I'm telling you, if you know what I'm talking about, you need to be careful. But materialism never satisfies the soul because, you see, in this round world we live in, we got a triune heart that God give us. And you know what? That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit in this round world won't ever satisfy that type of heart. It just takes the Word of God. And Luke 12 and 15 says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in abundance of the things which he possesses. And then Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. You know, we have many, many desires, do we not? I mean, we have a lot of things. We want this, we want that. When you find all you need is in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, delight yourself in the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ is all that you need. There will come a time in your life, every one of us, when you find out that Jesus Christ is all you got. When you come to that time in your life, you'll find out that Jesus Christ is all that you need. And I can assure you tonight that there will come a time in every one of our lives that Jesus Christ will be all that you have. It may be whenever your wealth is gone. It may be whenever your health is gone. It may be, you know, that you might be in a nursing home, and you might be in a hospital where they have rolled you into a room by yourself, and everybody, your family can't be with you 24 hours a day, and you might be there by yourself. But then one of these days that you'll learn, and I'll learn the lesson, all these years that Christ has tried to get our attention, we'll learn one thing. At that time, Jesus Christ is all I've ever needed. And that's all I'll ever need is Jesus. And then you'll find out that's all that you want is Jesus Christ. So you think about that. Your heart seeks things of this world, you'll find it in Jesus Christ. And you know, there's people all around us is trying to find their hearts yearning for all different type of things. They're trying everything. But Jesus Christ will meet that need in the heart. They've tried all kind of things. But living in this new year, this unknown that we have, the fear of this new year, why do we have fear? Why do I have fear? Why do I have fear of growing old? Why do we have this fear? I want you to think with me. We think that our needs were not going to be met. When we have fear, a lot of times we have fear of a job. We don't have a job. We don't have the security. We don't. This world we're living in, it's a fearful thing as we're facing out into the world that we're living in right now. This United States, it's a fearful thing to know that we have so much unknown. And the fear begins to pile up because you see the security of our country been stripped away from us. And you see, it's been taken away from us every day. We have no security. A lot of people put some security in money, but you see, we might not have this dollar. It might go where it ain't worth nothing. You know, they had Confederate dollars, and whenever the war was won, the Confederate dollars, they weren't worth nothing anymore. We don't know if this dollar's going to crash. We just don't know about the things of this life. But think about the fear. When I think about the fear, you know, we think about maybe the things that meets our needs might be taken away from us, and that gives me fear, and I shouldn't have fear. Then another thing, we have this fear of what we need, it won't be furnished. You know, we have the fear of myself and a lot of seniors, adults with our health care plan. We don't know if we'll have the health care, and don't believe that we will in the future that we have today. And it looks like it's going down all the time. And don't you have a little bit of fear when they say, well, we're not going to fix that person. We're just going to give him a shot or her a shot and give them some medicine, and we're going to put them in a hole somewhere or another. You know, we have that fear. What we have to meet our needs might be taken away from us. Right now, my needs are being medical, you know, that I can afford it with the medical care that we have. But the fear is, well, it might be tucked away from us in the future, and I believe it will. And that gives me some type of fear, but it ought not to give us fear because of the Lord. I have Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 5, I will never leave us or never leave you or forsake you. Now we have something in the promise of God, you know, what he said there, that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now we have something that cannot be tampered with. Because Jesus Christ promised his presence with us. He promised that he will never leave us. We'll always have the presence of Jesus Christ if you're saved. Now your 401k, it could be tampered with. Y'all know that, don't you? I mean, it's stolen all the time from these big companies. Your CDs, it may be tampered with. Your Social Security, we don't know if we'll have a check or not. Your health care, you know, the thief can break in and steal. And that thief is a government right now. And they can steal away everything that you think of this hour. But Jesus Christ said, I'm going to tell you what, my presence with you, I'll never forsake you. And that's something that nobody can tamper with. So as we're traveling in this unknown world with the revival of our heart this night, we ought to understand that his provision and his presence, that's something that this world cannot tamper with. Nothing can hinder this. I know we've heard a lot about recession, and they say we're in a recession, and I know that we're in a recession, but not like there was in the 1929s and the 30s when there's so much suicide that people jumped out of windows, a lot of people killed themselves because they lost their security. You see, but nowadays we're also in a recession, and there's an unknown out into the future, and it brings fear to God's people. But we need to revive these four areas in our life to understand that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34 says, for you have compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoils of your good. That's I think, Paul talking, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Give, because you see, you know that you have a better a substance, and that is in heaven. We don't have to worry about that. If you lost everything you had, like old Job did in the Bible, what would you have left? You'd have Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to tell us. What you have to be content with in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:11 also says, not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. Now, Paul was in prison that time whenever he was writing this. I learned to be abased. That means I've learned to live humbly. I've been abound. That means I have learned to live in prosperity. And then verse 12 and 13 in that same chapter says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Paul knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be full. He knows what it was to bow down. He knows what it was to be raised back up. But this new year you and I are living in, we're going in, we need to learn our life contentment is in Jesus Christ. That's 13. This new year without fear of the unknown. I can do all things through Christ who pours himself in me. That's what it says. You know, this coming year, the revival that we need, I can do all things that I need to do through Christ is pouring himself into every one of us. That's what it is. He's pouring himself into each and every one of us. To be content of his provisions that he has given us. Let your conversation or your behavior be without covetousness. He will be content with such things as you have. And then the second thing, companionship of his presence, revival, Lord. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Companionship of his presence. He'll never leave us. That may be most encouraging verse that's in the whole Bible, telling us that he will never leave us. I read where a psychologist said that the human failures all spring from the lack of love. I don't know about that, but they said, you know, alcoholism and drugs and workaholics and depression and suicide, it all comes from the lack of love. We know one thing, that Jesus Christ loves us. Hey, Jesus Christ loves us. I will never leave you. That's a great verse of scripture. I will never leave you. And then the Greek sense of the word, I was reading where it says, you know, it says, I'll never, no, never, no, never, no, never leave you. It says three times, I'll never leave you. A young preacher went to see a grandmother and tried to explain this verse of scripture, trying to encourage her along the way how God would never leave her. And, you know, he says, you know, in the Greek, he says, grandmother, he says, this says, I will no, never, no, never, no, never leave you. She said, well, you Greek boys, God might have to say it to you three times, but one time's enough for me. So one time God says, I will never leave you. And you know, that's all he will have to say to us, to understand that I will never leave you. It means that I will never abandon you. It means I will never give up on you. It means I will never leave you as an orphan. You know, a lot of times we're willing to give up on some people, but I'll tell you what, God will never, no, never, no, never give up on you or give up on me or give up on anybody. I'll never leave you as an orphanage. You know, that a lot of times that we know fathers and also mothers, they walk away and they leave their kids from time to time. Husbands, they walk off and they leave their wife. But God will never do that. He says, I will never leave you as an orphan, never leave you. I'm planning on going to Mexico if the Lord helps me out before long and lasts maybe to February, and we go to orphans that's been started, homes that's been started across the border. Not a penny of money for help of nobody, just people that have abandoned their kids. If someone don't take them in, they'll starve to death pretty quickly, and the orphans are growing so fast. And I think about with no help, nobody, no nothing. Nothing to help for the government, nobody except just the work of the Lord and people that's willing to give their life and their help to help some people that cannot help their own self as babies. I know a lot of time when I say Mexico, people say, well, they couldn't even take our job. But I'm going to tell you, the orphan kids are not taking your jobs. And they need help too. No, but sometimes you know that we get some of the fear, and sometimes we get kind of lonely as we grow old. You know, we all growing old. Did y'all understand that? We all growing old. And sometimes, you know, you think about growing old, you think about being lonely. Well, Psalm 16 and 8 says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling in my growing old. Sometimes we might get discouraged, but you see, his presence will see me through. Sometimes, you know, we might be lonely, but his presence will cheer me up. Sometimes we might be worried, but it says his presence will calm me down. So you think about the companionship of his presence as we're going through the unknown. Think about, you know, his contentment of his provisions. Revival without fear. You know, worry, we're not supposed to worry, are we? I mean, the Bible tells us not to worry. I run across a statement where it says, worry is a mild form of atheism, because what it does, it acts like God doesn't exist. I had to think about that for a while, but you know what, that's true. Worry is a mild form of atheist, because it really, you're living and you're worrying that like God don't exist. God don't worry. He don't tell us to worry, because he says, I got everything under control. Well, you know, when I start worrying, when it's out of my control, and most things out of our control anyway, that's whenever we start worrying. And they'd be content in his presence. You know what would help me when I'm tempted? So the third thing, you know, is being confidence of his promise. He's promises some things. As we go into this new year, be confident of that. It says there in verse 5, he has said. He have said there in verse 5 all again. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All right, that's a promise because he have said. That's his promise. Being revived in this area of our life, we need this. We go to the unknown. He said, I have said. Every way that you turn, he says, I have said. I believe when we understand that statement, what he says, I have said, I believe that we can understand this revival in these four areas of our life, that we could sing that old song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and grief to bear. What? What a privilege. What a privilege we have tonight to carry everything to him in prayer. That's a great privilege, isn't it? Confidence in his promise whenever we carry everything to him in prayer. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but Jesus Christ says, you're going to make it. Revival, you know, the fears of this unknown year, the fear of this unknown that we're living in, and kind of hurrying on tonight, you know, the comfort of his protection. Aren't you glad that God protects us every day? In verse 6, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 5 says, he have said, verse 6 says, that we may say, he have said that we may say, boldly. Boldly, that means with confidence, is the protection of the Lord. He promised that he would protect us, that I might say boldly. In Hebrews, I forget what, 4:16, I believe it says, you know, that we might come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might have peace with God. Come boldly means with confidence. And he said for us to come with confidence, that he'll protect us. We got protection of the Lord. As I think about going into these unknowns of my life, and I think about the unknowns, like I said, of the health care, the unknowns of our pension, the unknowns that we have of our health, just so many unknowns that we have. And don't a little fear kind of grip you? How are we going to do in 5 years from now? What's it going to be on down the road? When I get to where I really need this, is it going to be there for me? It's a little fear, but God says, I'll protect you. Don't worry, I'll protect you. Did you see the comfort of his protection? He said, that's all you need is me. I'll see you home. Some way we don't understand, but some way or another, you know what? God's going to see us all home. Every one of us. What if they do away with Social Security, God's going to see us home. What if we don't have no health care, God's going to see us home. Everything that we're going to need, I'm going to tell you, God's not going to abandon his children. It's because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll see you home. Alexander McLaren, he was a Scottish preacher, and I know Brother Marshall probably read this. He was a young boy over in Scotland. He was about 14, 15 years old, and it's like it is around here years ago. If you got a job, you had to go away from home to get it. So it was about 8 miles of town, but he had to go to town, and it's too far back because he had to walk each night. So he went to town on Monday, and his father says, well, son, I want you to come home. Now, you've never been away from home. I want you to come home on Friday. He said, well, Daddy, I just spend the night Friday night, get up early Saturday morning, I come home. He said, no, me and your mama really like for you to come home. You ain't never been away from home, and we really miss you. We'd like for you to come home on Friday evening when you get off from work. Well, he said, okay, but on the way home, there was a dark valley that he had to go through, and it was a very dangerous valley. In fact, this valley where a lot of people was robbed and even killed, and he had the fear of going through that valley. But his daddy said for him to come home, and he's being obedient to his father, and he started going home that evening time. And about time he got to that valley, you know how dark it is in the valley in the mountain area where he lived. And he had this fear, you know, of going through. And I like some of you boys, you know, used to walk the roads at night, and it'd get kind of dark, you know, and you'd hear something in the bushes, and you know how your hair on the back of your neck would stand up, and you get scared all the time. But see, he had this fear. And he started going through this valley, going into this valley, just enough of the moonlight that he saw a figure of a man down on the other end. As I said, he kind of froze. His heart began to beat. Had your heart just beat, beat, beat because you were scared. You know how it is, don't you? He began to see that man, and the further he walked towards you, that man was coming towards him. And the great fear and all kind of things gripped his heart. And he got closer and closer. And then as he got a little bit closer to him, he saw the figure of that man. And it was his father had come to meet him. And him and his father met, and they walked home together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the father promised to meet us, and we'll go through that valley with him. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You ever remember when your father was at home, seemed like he was always the safety when daddy was there? Always a safety when the father was at the house. You see, because that safety of the father, you see, it hadn't changed. You still have the safety of the father. The safety of the father, the comfort of his protection. These four things helped me. I said, told George, I said, if I could just grasp these four things in these two little verses of scripture, all the scriptures in the Bible, but if I could just grasp these four things in these two little small verses of scriptures, I said, you know what? I could have a revival. I could have revival because of the unknown. I believe you'd be revived tonight if we could grasp these four little small things in these two verses of scripture that God showed me tonight. We'd have a great revival. I don't know about you. Do we have a song we might put on for just a moment? And I'm going to let you go home in just a minute. But you think about these two scriptures, and you read these two scriptures, and you think about the unknowns. Not just this world, but in our life. All right, for you, bow your head if you want to. Stand wherever you need to do if you want to come to this altar. You want to be praying for revival for your family.